This is the Funky Gamer Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello there. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Funky Gamer Podcast, a gaming podcast from a bunch of wannabe somebody yet still nobody British dudes who think they know stuff. I'm your host, Ricky James, and this is episode 30. In typical fashion, we released last week's show and then stuff changed, so we're here to talk about it. There's new Switch hardware from Nintendo and a whole lot more following over from our show last week. Go and listen to it if you haven't. Joining me to discuss all the stuffs, Mr. Chris Wright. How the hell art of thee?
Oh, there we go. I was wondering if you were going to slip into Victorian.
It's pretty much a given at this point, Chris. I don't know why you're still surprised.
Yes, I know, yeah. Every week. Every damn week. No, I'm good.
Why don't you seek to do something original as part of the intro as well, perhaps?
Yeah, why would I?
Because, I don't know, people might think that you have a personality then.
This is your moment. I wouldn't want to take that away from you.
You never do. Haven't done for 30 episodes, but yet here we are.
I know.
Thank you for being here as always, sir.
You're welcome.
Shall we stop the awkward, unprepared banter and go straight onto RUP?
Please, yes, it's painful.
Let's do this.
What are you playing?
Right, okay, Chris, because once again, I'm keeping tabs on this section and I went first last week. So guess who's up this week first? That would be you, since there's only two of us.
Yes, that's true.
What have you been playing, man?
I've been playing some games.
Just some games. Is that all you're going to give us?
Yeah, some games. I've been continuing my Assassin's Creed slog playthrough. It's actually not too bad. I'm quite enjoying it. It's just traveling from island to island is becoming a bit Legend of Zelda.
Really?
Yes, I'm traveling from one island on a main mission to pick up another island, get distracted by an island on the way, and then find myself doing 3 hours of nothing on that island.
I must admit, actually, I've had a very similar experience now that you've outlined it.
Very easily distracted.
It's quite incredible. There is so much to do. It's mental.
There is. Yeah, it's decent. I'm enjoying it. I just need to focus.
It's the first time I've ever heard a parallel between that game and The Legend of Zelda as well. That's quite a bold statement.
I know, yeah. I was trying to think as to what game has me sailing and doing quests, and that was the first one that popped into my mind.
You like being a sailor, as we all know.
It's incredible fun, though I do get seasick.
Right, okay. Well, that's completely irrelevant.
No, yeah. A little bit of irrelevance to start with. I have also had a go on PUBG this week.
Oh my God, that's... Really?
Yes.
Do you know what? So speaking of PUBG, it's just dawned on me just now how very quickly that entire game dipped out of people's perspective in recent months.
It did, but it's back. Well, it's back. They've added some updates and done some bits and pieces and given us achievements now and stuff. And I had a mate banging on at me to try out with him. So yeah, I gave it a go the other night and it was actually quite enjoyable.
Did you win? Did you get a chicken dinner?
We got second place.
Ooh.
Second place was as good as we got.
No, mate, that's not a winning. I'm sorry.
I know, yeah. It was deeply upsetting because we got so close. We had more horrendous games.
Really?
But that was the one that stuck in the mind, yeah. Yeah, I think the first game we had, we just landed and got murdered immediately.
Good on you for playing it, though, especially given how, like I say, I wouldn't say public perception has dwindled, but it's definitely kind of fallen off the radar.
It has, yeah. It's not getting a lot of attention these days.
And I take it there's no Stranger Things skins up for grabs.
There's none in that game, no. No, you've got to dress yourself in regular everyday clothes.
Disappointing. I could play it because I have Game Pass, but yeah, I just don't fancy it. It's Battle Royale, man. It's not for me.
Yeah, you don't like shooty games.
It's not that I don't like shooty games. I don't like shooty games where everybody else in the shooty game is better than me, which is often.
Yeah, that is an issue, especially for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for that.
That's okay.
Well, well done. Well done for completing some PUBG. Do you think you'll go back to that? Or is it just a one-off?
Yeah, no, my mate is badgering me again to go on tonight. And I think as I've got nothing better to do, I probably will.
Okay, well, I was going to say we should probably hop on some of The Division, but we said that last time. It never happened. And quite frankly, I've got to edit this tonight, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You've got other things to do.
Maybe we can do that at some point this week, because I would like to get back on The Division, if not to have you boss me around a little bit more.
Yes, I think so. I've actually been on The Division a bit here and there as well.
Well, given that you've just said that and we're kind of moving gradually into the games that I've been playing, that's pretty much the only game that I can plug for this week that I've put any real time into outside of the one that I'm not going to mention.
Well, the one that makes me chuckle at you because it's a big loser game.
Right, okay. I need to clarify what you think this is now.
World of Warcraft.
No. The other one that I've been just harping on about recently.
I can't think.
Oh, dude, Skyrim VR. There you go.
That one. Oh, that one. Yes, I remember.
Have you slept? Is that what it is? Have you slept?
I've slept and not had enough sleep also.
Okay, well, let's try and plow through this despite you being completely sleep deprived.
Your turn.
Well, that's pretty much it. I've played a little bit of Skyrim VR. I say a little bit. Do you know what I'm finding about that game? It's incredible to play through in VR, as I keep saying on pretty much every show that we've had for the last 3 weeks plus. It's so immersive. I'm getting pretty far in it, like substantially far.
Okay, that's good.
I have hit level 10, and top level I think is 50. And I think you hit endgame way before you ever hit that level.
Well, of course, yeah.
But I'm actually making some decent progress on it, and god damn, does it make me twinge, because I'm playing with the Move controllers as well now, which is a bit of a learning curve, but it's fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you managed to pick yourself some of those up.
They were expensive. I did put them on Twitter. If you follow us on Twitter, you'll have seen this. But, oh man, they are gold, like gold dust to acquire, and they are expensive. They cost me near £70 for a pair of them.
It's kind of crazy with PlayStation VR still being a thing and you actually needing the Move controllers to make it sort of work properly.
Yeah, it definitely adds to the experience. I wouldn't say they're needed. You can use the pad for like 90% of the VR games, but if you really want a decent VR experience that kind of feels a little bit more virtual reality, then definitely you need the Move controllers, if you ask me. So they are like gold dust. Not a single Argos UK chain of I don't know what you call them. They just sell everything.
They do. They're a weird magical kingdom.
You go in and they just have the laminated book of dreams for you to flick your way through. It's incredible. Anyway, we're getting way off topic here, I've got to say. So, yeah, I've been playing some Skyrim VR. I've had a little bit of a dip into The Division, but nothing really too substantial, which is why I'm keen for us to kind of get on. So I endeavour to ensure that for next week's show, I have something a little bit less boring to talk about.
Maybe.
You don't sound like you have much faith, but I'm going to go with it.
I have absolutely zero faith in you at all.
Come on, pray for Ricky. That should be a hashtag somewhere.
There probably is, but not for you.
Probably not.
It'll be somebody who's near dying.
Oh, dude, that's awful. No, that's moved off this very, very quickly.
You can guarantee it will be.
No, because the fact if it actually turns out to be true, Chris, then I'm just going to feel depressed, quite frankly. So let's just not go down that incredibly dark path.
Well, let's move on before I Google it.
We have no Game Pass updates, etc. for this week, which is kind of nice because it means that we can move on from this extended little portion of what are you playing straight into the news. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Funky Gamer News and Discussion.
Right, first up on the news list for this week. Okay, so the big story, I guess, that's been making the rounds, if you're asking me at least, Ubisoft are going to be making some changes to something that they call Story Creator Mode, which is something that exists for Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Have you seen this? It's been in beta since like June.
No, not a clue.
Okay, well, let me tell you all about this. This is a tool that is akin to the in-house quest development pipeline that Ubisoft have when making Assassin's Creed games. It's a very similar tool that they use to actually craft their own quests inside AC. They released it as a beta platform for players to effectively be able to go in and create their own story missions. It's been hitting the headlines over the last week or so because they're now making changes to the story creator mode following a growing number of player-created levels. And these levels specifically seem to be designed to allow for fast XP farming. In other words, you can complete a quest really quickly with minimal effort, get a load of XP for your character in-game.
Sounds good to me.
It's a really easy way and to do it. And frankly, I don't know why Ubisoft didn't see this coming, but we'll get onto that. The reference changes that they have talked about include removal of XP farming quests from the auto recommendation system. They seem to refer to these quest types as exploits as well, which kind of gnaws at me for some reason.
Easy, Ubisoft, come on.
I know, just calm yourselves down. But then they're updating the tool's terms of service to reflect what they quote, reflect the misuse of the tool. They've also gone as far as to say that they're going to impose sanctions on those who quote, willingly and intentionally misuse the tool. In fact, do you know what, Chris? I've got an entire quote for you if you'd like me to read it.
Oh, good, because I was kind of focused on you using the word tool over and over again.
Do you know what? It's funny you say that, because when I was writing these notes, I actually thought about the term reflect the misuse of the tool and thought, you can definitely apply that to Chris in some respect.
Thanks.
But anyway, the Ubisoft representative in question here from their PR department, assumingly, goes on to say, Story Creator Mode was designed to be a tool for players to let their creativity and imagination run free as they build their very own stories to share with others. However, since the launch of the beta, we have noticed an increasing flow of farming quests that exploit the tool to get large amounts of XP. These exploits risk jeopardizing the overall quality, integrity, and purpose of Story Creator Mode, and results in less visibility for the creative, interesting, and frankly fantastic community stories that have been published. So their excuse is that people are simply misusing the tool based on what they believe they designed it for.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Hoping it translates. So why is this in the news? For the most part, it's because there's a lot of arguments against Ubisoft's reasons for this change. Like we've just said, they seem to be going down this route of you are misusing a tool that we intended to be designed in this way, right? Arguments against the changes include the fact that a lot of these user-created story missions are all played and available offline. I say available offline, you have to be online to download them, but you can play them without having any connection to the internet. It's not a multiplayer game. The underlying point there is they're actually causing no overall harm to anybody, right? Some outlets report that this change is therefore being made because XP farming quests actively undermine the paid XP boost that you can go into the AC Odyssey in-game store and purchase.
So that's where we're about. I see.
So my question, I guess, at this point is, in this, with this knowledge, this newfound knowledge in some ways, is this just a way for Ubisoft to save that money grab, like to try and encourage people to actually pay for their XP boost instead of playing these story-created missions by other players that give that to them effectively for free? Or are these changes being made maybe in a more genuine fashion?
As normal, it's all about the money and how much Ubisoft can make from people.
They're probably going to milk wallets. I completely agree with the sentiment that the overall mainstream media seems to be going for here.
Yeah. I mean, I started reading that and I'm like, okay, it's a single-player game. What would anybody gain by XP farming? And then you mentioned Ubisoft and money, and it all kind of made sense from there.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, ultimately, if this is causing no harm to anybody, it's the player's enjoyment. I mean, you used to get cheats back in the day for games. You know, you used to use certain button combinations. That was at your own leisure based on how you wanted to play. If you wanted to cheat, you could cheat. This effectively is, well, it's not a dissimilar thing. It's in similar territory, if you're asking me. So I do think it makes a lot of logical sense to say that they're actually doing this because they believe it's undermining their paid XP boost.
Yeah, I think Ubisoft are out for as much money as they can get from the Assassin's Creed series. And I think, yeah, by doing this and making sort of stopping people creating what they want to create, which is surely the part and parcel of giving people the opportunity to create stories.
Yeah, especially via a tool like this. They can't surely release a tool that allows this kind of thing and then say, oh, sorry, but we didn't intend for it to be used in that way.
Yeah, stop it. You're using it wrong.
It seems completely counterintuitive to me.
Yeah.
And again, I don't see why they didn't see this coming. It's like, again, the functionality is there within the tool. People are going to exploit it. It's the internet, for God's sake.
Yeah, once one person knows about it, everybody knows.
Once Reddit gets a hold of the story, every hacker on the planet trying to get into the software. Yeah. I find this a very interesting story, and obviously we can't prove this either way. Ubisoft, certainly as far as I'm concerned, based on at least business sense, I suppose, aren't going to change their mind anytime soon.
They hate you anyway.
They don't hate me. They used to like me at some point in time. I haven't spoken to them recently.
Which is not what we're saying. Okay, that's fair.
I used to be in touch with a couple of the guys at Ubisoft's PR department, and they were always really genuinely incredibly nice with me, so I can't really fault Ubisoft's PR. At least based on my experience.
But you've not spoken to them for a while.
Yeah, well, Funky Gamer kind of fell under the radar. This is something, we're treading into territory that I'm hopefully going to clarify a little bit more in the future as we venture into some further projects. Let me just say that.
Mysterious.
YouTube related. But yes, we'll come back to potentially my former quote-unquote relationship with Ubisoft. Chris.
Hi.
Let's move on to the next news story. Oh, yeah. Never do that again, Ricky.
Yes, following on from last week's Nintendo Switch mini rumor, Nintendo came out the day after we recorded last week and said, hang on, boys, it's called the Nintendo Switch Lite, and here it is.
They might as well have just I don't know, sent me a sticker of Mario giving the finger.
Yeah, honestly, we record these and seemingly at the minute, events sort of happen after we finish that are beyond our control and make us look like fools. We can do that on our own. We don't need any help.
I know, thanks industry. What the hell?
Yeah, Nintendo this week, it was Sony last week. Microsoft, your turn.
It's, yeah, no, oh, don't, please don't, because it's like saying Freddy three times into the mirror.
We'll see what happens.
That's an incorrect movie reference there, but let's not talk about that.
let's just move on, shall we?
So Nintendo dropped some new hardware, basically, is what you're saying to me.
Yes, yeah, it's a lighter and smaller console, which is more handheld, which is, in fact is handheld only. There'll be no dock, no connectivity with your TV. There'll also be no detachable Joy-Cons. They've removed the rumble capability and kickstand. Essentially, they've just taken off all the good stuff and just given you a super, super nice Game Boy.
Basically, yeah, with a kind of, well, it has a touchscreen as well, which isn't, I suppose, a nice element. It's kind of part and parcel of the Switch.
It's nice of them to leave that in there.
I do feel like it's kind of segmenting the player base to a degree, because if you think about it, it's like, well, you're going to have to specifically look for games that actually support handheld. And I know most of them do. What I mean is not non-independent Joy-Cons. So
yeah, I think most Nintendo first-party titles allow you the capability of choosing how you control a game. So I think most of them will be all right.
Thankfully, but it's not always a given. I can guarantee there's somebody out there that will probably buy one of these devices and find a game that they can't play.
Probably. You can absolutely guarantee that'll happen.
But cool. So did we plug the entirety of what we know about the specs there? I don't know where we got up to.
We got nearly to the bottom of the notes you've written here. So it's a slightly better battery life than the standard Switch model, giving you, is that 3 to 7 hours versus 6.5?
Yes, 3-7. Yeah.
Versus 6.5 max on the normal Switch.
They worded it like that. I don't know. That made not much sense to me either, but
absolutely not. Oh, no, it's 3 to 7 hours. That's quite a large window there.
Officially, according to the Switch website, which offers a direct comparison between these two units, it says between 2 to 6.5 on the normal Switch and 3 to 7 on the Switch Lite.
Very clever.
Yes, it is. To be honest with you, what are your thoughts on this overall? In fact, hang on a minute. What else have we got left to talk about here?
The date is available, September 20th. The price of the console will be $200, which also, surprisingly, given the current dollar-pound exchange rate, works out at £200.
Nah, they make it up as they go along, man. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, $200 in America, £200 for us Brits. So, yeah, if somebody wants to do the maths and work that out, by my reckoning, it should be about 180 quid, but it's not.
Yeah, I know the lower you go, the lesser the gap, as it were. But that, no, it's not like for like. In this case, what they've done is they've just milked it.
Yeah, they have. There will be a special Pokemon edition available in November, should you be able to contain your excitement till then.
There was a name for the Pokemon edition, but I didn't include it because I don't know. For some reason, I had it in my head that I was going to be talking about this and I didn't want to embarrass myself. But
was it silly?
Well, yeah. Although now that I think about it, I would have liked to have heard you say it.
Okay, why is that?
Just because you seem to pride yourself on Japanese phrasing, shall we say.
Okay. Japanese phrasing. That's a new one on me.
Anything that comes out of Japan or China, you say with such a flair that one would potentially think you were from the country.
I know. I have a very weird knack of phonetically breaking things down and being able to pronounce them. It's a strange talent.
Yeah, I know. Some may call it racism, but it's a grey area.
Yes, it is, thankfully.
Goodness gracious me. Right, okay, so any thoughts on the Nintendo Switch Lite, Chris? Was this good, bad, expected, unexpected?
I think we all knew it was coming, didn't we? It's been rumoured and speculated on for a while now, but I think we're all a little bit surprised by the price.
Yeah, I know. Well, for what it kind of changes, it's not that big of a difference, really.
Yeah, considering the amount they've taken off it, for them to just lop 80 quid off the price is a bit much.
What I don't understand, why the hell did they remove the kickstand? That's just...
I don't know. I guess if you've got it in your hands, because obviously it's now a handheld console, you're not going to want to put it down, which is sort of what the point of the kickstand was in the original Switch console.
No, that said, though, they went out their way and said this will allow for existing Switch wireless Joy-Cons to connect to the device. So you can use wireless Joy-Cons. At that point, a kickstand probably would have been nice.
Yeah, you'll have to delicately balance it somewhere. I don't know, maybe it's got a square bottom.
Don't ever say those words to me again, please.
Okay. I didn't think it'd be a phrase that I was saying, but there we go. Here we are.
Imagine that, just being on an airplane, like awkwardly trying to prop up your Switch Lite.
Is that you having a problem with your square bottom or the Switch?
Do you think this is good value for money? Would you get one?
No, absolutely not.
I don't know. I was kind of considering it.
I can't even sugarcoat this. I can't see me getting one. I sold my original Switch, and honestly, the length of time it takes for Nintendo exclusive games to come out is just insane. There'd be no. I might look at getting one next year when there's a price drop on it and when there's some more decent games out. But for now, I have my fill of Link and Zelda, and I have moved on.
They release in like Japan and China and all those countries years in some cases before they ever do over in the UK and even the US.
Yeah, it's the whole translation deal, isn't it? It takes a lot of effort translating that.
Like the fact that Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney ever came to... I still can't believe that game exists on console now, because it took so long.
There's a lot of words in that game.
I know. I actually still really want to play it. Maybe that... Oh, okay, that's got me thinking now. Maybe. We'll see.
I've still got it. I've not played it since I originally bought it.
Oh, you idiot. Right, go and play it and then persuade me to play it, please.
Okay, hang on. Is this where I leave? I'll go do that right now.
No. Please okay. Don't do it now. We've got one more thing to talk about in the news, and then you can talk even more if you like.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Let's finish up with this final news story. Again, a bit of a delicate week when it comes to news stories. Not much going on, really, other than this little story. Hasn't really been much else major that's gone down.
This is why we're going back to this.
Let's have a discussion about this, because Chris, I know you are eager, son. So, what are we talking about? If you tune into last week's episode, you'll know that we dropped a bunch of news regarding the website G2A. So this story just kind of follows up on that very briefly.
Oh, good.
Not going to linger on it for too long, because it does bore the crap out of me, but ultimately, it's been in the news, so we're going to talk about it. So G2A have proposed a key blocking tool.
That's that word tool again. You can't help yourself.
No, I know.
Okay, no, carry on. Don't let me put you off.
It's your fault. It's because you are present. Let's put it that way. They will only introduce this tool, Chris, if developers are interested.
In the tool?
Yes. If developers like the tool, they must let G2A know that they are tool fans.
Okay, cool.
So this is a follow-up to reports we included in last week's show. Again, go check that out if you don't know what we're talking about. But G2A have proposed a solution to their fraudulent game key issue, kind of, sort of.
Oh, good.
The reason is this solution doesn't actually aim itself at fraudulent game key issues at all. In fact, it actually seeks to address two other problematic sources outside of stolen credit cards. G2A basically argue that any online outlet can be subject to fraudulent cards. So the other problematic areas, according to G2A, are key giveaways that come from various different sources. So when sites run giveaways to promote a game, a game studio will provide keys to an outlet, and then they'll give those away as part of competitions and such.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that source. People will win the codes and then sell them on G2A. The other source is email scammers that are posing as YouTubers or gaming journalists or people within the media asking for review keys that they then take once they've got, and they don't do anything. Well, they simply put them on G2A and they sell them. This is another major source and problematic source of G2A's key economy, as it were. The new proposed, as of yet non-existent tool will seek to check whether...
Oh, God. They are so good at this. They really are.
I know. This is completely hypothetical.
Oh, God. So in about 5 years, they'll actually have this tool.
They're thinking, Chris, is what they're doing. I don't know how long this kind of a thing would take to develop. I don't even know how they go about it, to be honest. Some kind of machine learning.
It depends how many men they have playing with said tool.
Yes, exactly. They would need a lot of devs playing with the tool in order to get it to, let's not think of a dirty analogy. Let me tell you about this. The tool itself, okay, because I know you're eager once again.
Absolutely.
The tool itself will check to see whether a selling key was previously included in any form of a giveaway or obtained by impersonation of somebody of influence from within the industry, etc., blah, blah. blah. The proposed system, Chris, requires a minimum of 100 devs to register interest in the tool before August 15th, 2019. They're on a tight deadline.
They are. A tight deadline.
They must interact with the tool before the deadline closes. Anyway, the system itself won't impact the buying of keys acquired with stolen credit cards and also won't halt the sale of Steam gifts, which also appears to be another dodgy avenue that people are using to sell keys underhandedly. Chris, I know you really don't have any thoughts on G2A, but if you had to really kind of draw blood out yourself and think deep on this one, what would you say on this entire subject and their proposed solution?
I'd say that G2A don't actually care. They really don't. They've said, hang on, guys, we've got a theory, but it's just a theory right now. We're going to need some people to test it, and hopefully maybe sometime in the future we will be able to combat it.
Yeah, I know, right? They don't seem to have much of an idea.
Good work, boys. Good work. Yeah, it's so vague, it's unbelievable.
Well, this is what I mean. Can you imagine? I mean, I'll read this bit again. The non-existent tool will seek to check whether a selling key was previously included in any form of giveaway across the entire internet, or whether it is obtained by somebody impersonating somebody of influence, etc. How is it ever going to work those things out without serious invasion of privacy?
It's not going to happen, is it? Let's be honest. They're just throwing something out there in the vague hope that people will go, oh, you know what? G2A were all right. They're doing something to combat this. No, they're not. They're really not.
It makes a lot of sense that they're trying to do what they can to recoup their image. Nobody likes being the bad guy in the press, and G2A have faced a lot of scrutiny over the years, as we said last week. But I don't know, a few of the reactions that I've seen from devs seem to be kind of positive, I guess, to a degree. But this really does seem like, I guess it's a step in the direction that they should be going, as instead of doing nothing. If you're going to really, I don't want to say dig deep again, but yeah, it kind of alludes to that. You'd have to dig deep to kind of give G2A any credit.
It's a half-step shuffle to where they want to be.
It's a five-finger knuckle shuffle towards the tool.
Yeah, it is. They're doing what they can, which may not be a lot, but they want to make it look like they're doing something rather than nothing. So they look good.
Yeah, I think what they really need to do is expand on their proposed system. Sure, it's really good to have an idea and just throw that out there, but yeah, I could do that tomorrow and it could all just hit the fan within the space of 5 minutes. It could fly under the bus. I could forget about it. Nothing will ever happen. It's just an idea, is my point.
Tune in this time next week for some more news on G2A and the steps that they have taken since we spoke about it right now.
I'm going to try and go out my way. Oh, please, no. If G2A is in the news, we're going to have to talk about it, but I really hope they're not.
So do I. I'd like something else to discuss because, honestly, this whole story just bores me to death.
I actually would like to know, I'm quite intrigued to know exactly how this proposed solution worked.
So are they.
Yes, they have no idea. If somebody at G2A, no, don't want, in fact, no, if you're from G2A, oh, it's where we're off. Go, I don't want you, we don't want you here.
If one of the devs who's closely working with G2A and wants to consider this whole, what they're going to do to fix this, then get in touch.
Yeah, okay, you can deal with that one, Chris, quite frankly. I'm going to see if I can forward
this. That's fine. No, please get in touch. I'd be intrigued to know.
I'd like to know what the listener thinks about this. You, the listening person, do you have an opinion on this?
If you've fallen asleep during this last 2 minute section, then welcome back. Now's your moment.
Well, this can't be a real thing until you have some pillars to work on. And that's what G2A need to show in order to at least gain some good faith from me in any respect. And I'm talking like a percent.
They need 100 pillars in order to get this to work.
Put it this way. I want them to try it. Don't get me wrong, right? If they were to turn all of this around and actually do some good and put systems into place to prevent this, like, surely that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll see how this turns out. I'm going to keep my eye on the number of devs. I think it's an open poll. In other words, that you can kind of see the number. If not, we'll just have to wait until August 15th to see whether or not they announce what the status of that is.
I can't wait for that.
I know you can't. We're going to make a special episode just for it, Chris. Just a bonus episode on G2A update.
So excited for that.
Well, I don't really have anything else to say on this. You'll be pleased to know until obviously next week when we have more to talk about with G2A. It's the G2A podcast.
And I genuinely have nothing else to say on the matter.
Wonderful. In which case, shall we move on to the special little corner that is owned by oneself?
Let's.
Let's do that right away, like now. Let's go.
It's time for Chris's Corner.
You went all Mank then. That was a surprise.
That's my natural voice.
No, it's not.
I am a Mank.
Why do you go all posh when you're doing this?
Seriously, I was born in Manchester.
Is this your broadcasting voice?
Because I have a good...
Whereas I just sound like me.
That's the one.
No.
Yeah, you actually do. He's not just saying it. If you ever meet us at any conventions or anything like that, you speak to Chris, he just sounds like this.
I genuinely sound constantly sarcastic and a little bit put off by people.
He is as dull and as deadpan as he actually sounds.
Incredible, right? There'll be people lining up now. You watch.
But he has a corner of and one that's filled with many wondrous things.
It is. Should we start this week with, let's go back to Apex Legends, which was a game that hit the ground running massively and then sort of died a little bit of a death.
Yeah, another game that kind of just vanished off the face of the earth in recent month or two. It was all the rage at one point.
Yeah, it's still there, and there are still people playing it, as Apex they've come out with a clever way of beating cheaters.
Right. What was their issue with cheaters in the first place, do you know?
Yeah, if you're using aimbots to help you in-game and doing all sorts of other sort of fun exploits that leads to you winning, then they really rather you wouldn't. And in fact, they're going to put you in games with other cheaters so you can all cheat together.
That is absolute genius.
which I can only come to terms with that means there'll be no winners. They'll just all be running around shooting everybody forever.
Well, that's the genius part of it. Because think about it, like aimbots and cheating and stuff like that is not new in terms of it being unacceptable, especially in multiplayer games. It's been like that for years. I remember playing Quake 3 back in the day, and Dave, if you were here, would help me wibble on about this. But there used to be all sorts of different protections to prevent aimbots and things like that. So it's not new.
No, it's not.
And I just think that that's such a creative way to feed them a taste of their own medicine, for sure.
It is a very clever move by Respawn. And if you are still playing Apex Legends, then yeah, you'll be pleased to know that they are doing their bit to help you avoid playing those that use aimbots and other sorts of glitches to give them an advantage.
I would love to watch. I would actually watch a live stream that was just a spectator view of a server or whatever that's actually just got aimbots and people that are cheating in it. That would just be absolutely mental hectic, man.
There's probably a stream out there for you.
It's whose computer can press the fire trigger quicker.
Yeah. That would be an entertaining watch, I'm sure.
Wow, it's like, it would come down to like really minuscule numbers. It's like the i5 versus the i7 on 2.
yeah, you're working on processor speed, not the speed of your fingers.
Yeah, exactly. Hacks. Anyway, well, they get what they deserved. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, that is very clever. Good work.
Nice one, Respawn.
Right, moving on. Division 2, which we discussed earlier.
We did.
Weirdly. I know, yeah. This corner it just never ceases to amaze me.
So every week it's almost like you always planned it, Chris.
If only I did. It sort of falls into my lap in the last minute and it just sort of works.
Keep up the good work.
I am trying. So the Division 2 creative director wants to know if people are interested in a single player spin-off of the game. Somebody tweeted, just some random tweeted in the week saying, I love the idea of a single player narrative driven spin-off of the Division, focusing on an agent trying to get home to their family after being sent to NYC during the Shade blackout from the fall of DC.
Okay, I could get behind that.
Yeah, this actually got a reply from Julian Geraghty, who is on the Div 2 team. He tweeted and just said thoughts. And as we stand, that post has 886 replies. So I think it's safe to say that people are a little bit excited about it.
How many retweets, you know?
Oh, God, you want more stats? I can't be doing that.
Well, it's normally the retweet level that dictates how.
Yeah, it's 1,857 likes and currently 180 retweets on that.
Not bad going. The ratio for likes is high, though. That's pretty good going.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, I don't know. It's not like Ubisoft to come out and sort of tack something on or make something like this, but clearly people would want it if it happened.
Is it the appeal of it just being offline, like the idea that you don't have to be connected to the internet? Because face it, right? You can just go ahead and play through all of the Division's story in its current form, albeit online, on your own if you want to.
Yeah, you can. I think people would like going back to NYC and just seeing how the sort of a character goes around and sort of starts this whole thing. I think they want the whole initial sort of combat scenario as to how it all falls into place.
They want the origin story.
Yeah, essentially. They want to see how it all starts and where it all begins and what actually goes on before this massive outbreak kicks off.
Okay, yeah. I can kind of see why people would want that kind of thing. If it's decent, like well thought out, and the storyline's good, like any game really, I'll certainly pick it up and give it a go, especially if it's grounded within, like you say, Tom Clancy. Maybe they could offer it as DLC and just have it as like a precursor to the main game or something.
We do also have a Division movie coming.
Oh, God, yeah. That was announced a while back now, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it must be close to release now.
Although, just very, very quickly, and we're not going to delve into this, but I read a report the other day that said that the new Space Invaders film finally has a director.
Wow.
And it's been in development for like 10 years or something like that, something stupid. It's a long time. So apparently that's also a thing, but carry on. This is your corner. It's not Ricky's corner, damn it.
It is, yes. Yeah, it doesn't normally stop you chipping in. So yeah, the Division movie would be cool. I think, the main star is Jake Gyllenhaal. So, I mean, if that guy can't carry something, then you've got no hope.
Very true. And he's pretty well renowned for making decent movies.
He's doing all right at the minute.
Yeah, his most recent role being Mysterio, I believe, in Spider-Man.
Yes, yeah, absolutely nails that completely.
Brilliant.
Right, shall we move on?
Yes, let's do that.
Dr. Mario World, released on iOS and Android last week.
Hasn't it done mental well?
It has done rather well. So there have been 2 million installs of the game, and people have spent over $100,000 on it.
Oh, wow. Isn't this why it seems to be also getting a lot of flack? Because it's the first time Nintendo have introduced microtransactions or something.
Yes, yeah. It's the way you pay for lives and coins and all that lot in the game, and people are a little bit up in arms. But hey, it's not stopping people spending the money on it.
The interesting question to me is whether or not that type of way an economy would ever make its way onto Switch. Because I can kind of understand it in a more mobile market where games are free. That seems to be more acceptable over there. I'm not saying people know my thoughts on microtransactions, but...
You love them.
Yes, with an undesired hate, quite clearly. It's not something I really want, but there you go. It is what it is.
I've just seen the price packs of some of the games and some of the sort of content from the in-app purchases, and the prices range from $2 to $70.
Wow, I hate to be a parent right now.
That is not a microtransaction.
$70.
Yeah, $70 is not micro at all.
How much is the base game?
The base game is free.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Damn it. My head was in Switch mode for just a second.
So, yeah, the game is free to download, but obviously Nintendo are trying to make some money off it, and they're doing all right on that.
Because they're trying and succeeding is the outcome to that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not done too bad at all.
Well done, Nintendo. I won't be touching that with a barge pole, but hell, fill your boots if you really want, but just don't ask your parents first, kids, for God's sake.
People are filling their boots and Nintendo's pocket.
Yes, I don't want to say congratulations. This kind of thing should not be endorsed.
What did I send you the other day?
I don't know.
Moving on from this thing, I sent you a FIFA story.
You know I won't have paid any attention to that.
It was all to do. I'm going to have to find it now. Bear with me. Just Phil for a second while I find this.
Okay. Phil. Let's talk about Phil.
See, it's not easy, Phil, in some sections, is it?
Philip DeFranco. He's a man.
He is a man.
He's a YouTuber.
He is a man.
Have you found the thing I'm filling?
Yes, I have. I found
what is it? What is the thing?
It was on BBC News. Currently 6 days ago. So some parents had their bank account emptied by their kids playing FIFA.
Oh yeah, this was covered pretty widely by the mainstream media as well.
So yeah. Four kids spent nearly £550 in 3 weeks buying player packs on FIFA.
We probably would have spoken about that in an earlier episode, but frankly, I didn't want to get on my microtransaction soapbox.
I know. I love it when you do, though. That's what made me send it to you.
Right, okay. Well, thankfully for you, I just had my own soapbox in my living room with nobody listening. That's probably how we should keep it.
Yes, I think you were screaming into a pillow after I sent you that one. Anyway, here endeth my corner.
Okay. I like that. I think it's ceremonious in some way.
Indeed it is.
Right, wonderful. Thank you very much for the corner, Christoph. You may retire back into it, as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.
No problem at all. Let's move on to the final segment we like to call Plug Life.
Plug Life.
Okay, so welcome to the plug section, where each and every week I try and rattle off the various different ways with which you can try and interact with us. And Chris usually adds one more thing, like a true Steve Jobs wannabe.
Yes, just stay tuned for that little bit, maybe.
Yeah, of course. First up, though, the FG website at funkygamer.co.uk is now completely up to date with our latest podcast escapades. Cheer, cheer, cheer. If you don't or can't listen to us on a particular podcast platform for whatever reason, you can get the episodes via inline players over on the website itself. Other than that, we're pretty much on every major podcast platform that's available right now, sometimes twice for some reason. I'm in contact with Anchor about this. I don't know what the situation is with that, but anyway, our YouTube channel is also another way that you can hear episodes each week. That has also now been updated to reflect most of the back catalogue.
Most.
So check us out over there if you wish. Yes, well, I started uploads at like episode 10.
Okay.
Because That's the episode when you got a proper microphone.
That's when the audio quality improved considerably.
Absolutely. So I thought, if I'm going to publish these to YouTube, I'm not going to go any further back. If people wish to go any further back than that, they can listen to them through the podcasting platforms, whichever one they choose. But I'm not publishing those to YouTube just for reasons.
we would advise against it.
Whichever platform that you choose, though, please use the inbuilt buttons to either like, rate, review, and comment to let us know that you enjoyed the show. And by proxy, you'll also be helping us in the best way possible. So thank you in advance. Beyond that, if you want to get in touch, you can do so via the website, the contact form on there. And Twitter is also the other way. We're at Funky Gamer Blog if you want to speak there. If you want to speak directly to me, you can hit me up at Ricky James, whilst Chris can be reached via his handle, which is
at @X_CW.
And Dave is at E46. Dave, he should be back next week, we hope, by the way.
Cool. Been a long time.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed and pray to the Geordie gods for a miracle. Finally, check us out over on Mixer.com/FunkyGamer for live streams. That'll be making a triumphant return this week. So come and join me whilst I play some games. Tuesdays and Fridays is the usual schedule, so follow us over there for notifications if that's your jam. Aside from that, Facebook.com/FunkyGamer, Funky.Gamer on Instagram are also both things that you should probably know about if you want to join in on the social fun on those platforms. As always, all of these links in a nicely ordered format exist in the show notes for you to go and click, so why not do that now whilst Chris enlightens us for one last time this week?
But there is one last thing I'd like to talk to you about today.
I've got one more thing.
Yeah, you always have to say it, don't you?
I do, yeah. It's sort of my deal now.
This week, Steve Jobs is going to introduce you one more thing.
That would be amazing. And
it will happen. I'll make it happen.
It would be an absolute miracle. So, we have some Call of Duty Modern Warfare Battle Royale news.
Okay, more Battle Royale. Yay for me.
I know you don't care, but some people do.
Exactly.
The upcoming Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the Battle Royale version of this game, the map will be 3 times the size of Blackout, and you can have 200 players.
Is it reaching the max capacity at present?
200 players? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It might be 500 by the time the game launches, but at the minute they're sticking at 200.
Dude, dip into that and see if you can get into a game with 200 players. That would be insane.
That is currently a rumor and a belting one at that.
If it exists and it turns out to be a thing, right, you have to try this for the sake of science and us.
Okay, of course. You know I will.
We both know I sure as hell ain't doing it.
No, you definitely won't be.
But, oh man, so where did this come from? Sorry, did you say?
It's currently up on Games Radar. They posted it, God, 13 days ago now. So yeah, a little bit behind the times, but it's a nice little rumour and one that I only found out about an hour ago.
Oh, very nice. That's still a nice little thing to know about. I take it we've had no confirmation at all from anybody regarding this.
Of course we haven't. No, there's been nothing concrete said as of yet. We're still waiting for some more details on the game, but I'm sure they'll drip out as we come towards release.
Well, who knew that even 2 weeks without that dated quote-unquote news, you could still turn out to be right about something.
I know. We'll see.
Absolutely incredible. Well, thank you for that one last thing, Chris. You have enlightened us, as always.
You're welcome.
Have you got anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
Oh, have I? No, I haven't.
Okay. You always sound like you're thinking about it.
I know, yeah, I genuinely am, but I haven't.
Wonderful. Well, as I always say to you, my good friend, thank you very much for being here with me as always.
That's okay.
You the listener, you wonderful person / people / person. Yeah, I'm going to go with it. You're tuning in to the Funky Gamer Podcast. This is episode 30. My name is Ricky James. His name is Chris Wright. And we will speak to you, as always, next week.